Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. With Broadway shuttered due to the pandemic, the Old Time Radio Hour is the place to be for award-winning theater. We have a Pulitzer Prize-winning drama this week that depicts life in a New York brownstone around the turn of the 20th century, with an all-star cast including Tony Award-winning actress Shirley Booth. You might remember her as the star of the TV sitcom Hazel. This gritty drama is adapted very effectively for the one-hour format of radio. This is Theater Guild on the Air, Street Scene, first broadcast December 11th, 1949 on NBC.
The United States Steel Hour presents the Theater Guild on the Air production of Street Scene, starring Richard Conte, Diana Lynn, and Shirley Booth. Helping to build a better America through better steels and products of steels is the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Look for our trademark, USS, on any steel product. It's your guide to quality steel. And now, as the lights go down at the Belasco Theater in New York, here, speaking for the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, is Roger Pryor with a word about our play and players.
Our broadcast tonight is based on one of the great triumphs of the American stage, Street Scene by Elmer Rice, the brilliant play about New York that won the Pulitzer Prize for its powerful emotion and realism and ran 3 years on Broadway. You remember it also as a famous motion picture, and recently it returned to Broadway again to win new laurels as a music drama. Three stars head our cast tonight: Richard Conte, Diana Lynn, who plays Rose Morant, and Shirley Booth in the deeply moving role of Rose's mother, Anna Morant. Carl Malden is featured as Mr. Morant. Richard Conte appears through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Whirlpool, starring Mr. Conte, Gene Tierney, and Jose Ferrer. We hear Mr. Conte tonight as Sam, who tells us the story, as the curtain goes up on Paul Peters' radio version of Street Scene, directed by Homer Thicket.
Why did I go back there this morning? That's what I've been wondering about all day. What made me go back? Was it a face I saw in the courtroom? Or a chance remark, perhaps? Or was it some curious subconscious recollection that this was the day? Anyhow, I went back. You see, I was driving home from the courthouse where I'd just tried a case. And suddenly I realized I was passing the street I lived on as a student. One of those old rows of tenements in Upper Manhattan near the elevated track. What got into me, I still don't know. But I stopped the car, got out, walked down the block. And there it was. The old brown stone house, just as I remembered it. People still went in and out the vestibule door and stood on the old brown stone stoop. Kids were still skating up and down the sidewalk. Somebody even peered out of the curtain in the downstairs flat where I once studied, across the hall from that Italian family, the Fiorentinos. Yes, upstairs, I remember, lived Mrs. Jones and her son Vincent in the rear of the house. And in the front, there used to be a nice young couple that had their first baby the night that changed the whole course of my life. The Buchanans. Yes, that was their name, the Buchanans. And as I stood there, held in the grip of memory, a woman opened the window on the second floor, up there where Rose Morant used to live.
Charlie! Charlie! You come right on home. I'll where you are. I'm crying out loud. What's the hurry?
Rose Morant. I wonder what became of her. For with her name came crowding all the memories of my youth. and my first love. I remembered particularly that hot summer night 10 years ago with the heat steaming up from the sidewalks, the windows open, the radios blaring, and a kid screaming under the fire hydrant, the steam drill pounding. No wonder nerves snapped on a night like that. And down on the old stone stoop, the tenants of our house sat gasping for air. Old Mrs. Jones, young Mrs. Fiorentino. I can still see them now.
It says in the paper, 6 dead in Chicago.
I tell you, Mrs. Fiorentino, you could take off my clothes and wring them out.
Me too, Mrs. Jones. My clothes stick all over. I ain't got a dry stitch on me.
When I'm in the house, I take off my shoes and corset and just make myself comfortable.
My lip and me, before we go to sleep, we take a bath.
Well, the trouble with a bath is by the time you get through, you're hotter than when you started.
Oh, good evening, ladies. Don't move. I can get out all right. It's a hot night, ain't it?
Is it? Well, you ought to know.
Yeah. I always say it ain't the heat, it's the humidity. Well, I guess I'd better trot along tonight.
Of all the nerve, it ain't the heat, it's the humidity.
That's him, ain't it? The milk collector?
Yeah, he's been up to see her again when the cat's away.
So her husband's out again tonight,
he's
huh?
Working late in the theater hanging scenery or something. I heard him tell her in the hall this morning.
Oh, that's bad. That's very bad.
If he'd catch her, he'd kill her and serve her right, too. Married 20 years and playing around with another man.
Well, Mr. Morant, he's not nice with her. He's a rough man. He hollers too much. And drink. All the time, drink.
Look out, here's the boy.
Hey, Ma!
If you want your mother, Willie Morant, why don't you go upstairs instead of yelling like that?
Hey, Ma!
What do you want, Willie?
Throw a dime out the window, will you? I want to get a call from the ice cream man.
Good evening, Mrs. Fiorentino. Is that Mrs. Jones with you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, good evening, Mrs. Morant.
How many cones do you have today, Willie?
Well, the other guy just having cones, Ma.
Well, this is the last one.
Throw it down. I'm in a hurry.
Willie, what did I tell you about your manners?
You certainly don't talk very nice to your mother.
All right, Ma. Please throw it down, will you?
That's better. Here, catch it.
Thanks. See you later.
Hey, is it the hot up there, Mrs. Moran?
Oh, it's like a furnace.
Well, why don't you come down and sit with us on the stoop?
Well, I can. I'm keeping some supper warm for my husband. Well, maybe I will, just for a minute.
I know. What do you want to go and do that for? After that fella just left her.
I feel sorry for her. She's got her troubles with that Willie.
They don't bother her much. She's got other things on her mind.
What's his name? The milk collector man of Frankie?
Frankie. Wouldn't you think a woman her age with a grown-up daughter is...
Twice this week you've seen him here.
The last time was in the morning. He was coming out of the house just as I was coming in with the dog. Good morning, he says to me, as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. So I stares him straight in the eye, and I says to him, you looking for somebody? Be careful, she's coming.
Oh, goodness, I think it's almost cooler inside.
Yeah, just what I was saying myself. I feel like a wet dish rag.
Sit down, Mrs. Moraine.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I would have liked to have gone to the park concert tonight if Rose had got home in time. I don't get much chance to go to concerts. My husband don't care for music. But Rose is more like me. She's just crazy about it.
Well, next week you go with my lipo, Mrs. Moraine. He'll give you a seat right in the front row where you can watch him play the violin.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be real nice. Would you believe it? When I was a girl, I was dying to take piano lessons. But maybe I'd better not, Mrs. Fiorentino. Thanks just the same, but Frank doesn't like it when I go out of the house much.
Ain't that just like a man? Easy to get along with, as long as everything's going the way they want it. But once it don't, good night.
I don't know why people can't live together in peace and quiet without making each other miserable. Everybody wants a kind word now and then. We just can't go on by ourselves without getting a kind word now and then.
Oh, here's your hubby now, Mrs. M. Good evening, Mr. Moran.
Evening. Someday, huh?
You been working all this while, Frank?
I'll say I've been working. They kept all our stagehands working with lights since early this morning. This weather, too. Tomorrow I got to go to New Haven for the tryout.
Oh, you're going in New Haven tomorrow?
Yeah, the whole stage crew's going. What about it?
Why, nothing, Frank. Nothing at all. I got some cabbage and some potatoes on the stove for you.
I just had a pot of beans at the coffee pot. All I want is a good wash. Been sweating like a horse all day. Where's Rose, upstairs?
Well, no, she ain't, Frank. I think she's working overtime.
Overtime? I never heard of nobody working nights in a real estate office.
Well, I thought on account of the office being closed tomorrow. Mr. Jacobson, their boss, died Tuesday, you know. The funeral's tomorrow.
She shouldn't be staying out without your knowing where she is.
But she's a grown girl, Frank. She's nearly 20 now.
That's all right. The mother's place knows what her daughter's doing. And where's Willie? Ain't he home either?
Well, he just went around the corner for an ice cream cone.
I thought I told you not to let him go batting around the streets at night.
Ah, Mr. Morant, my Vincent was always chasing around like a wild Indian when he was little, and now look at him. Driving his own taxi, making a good living.
I'm going to give that kid a fanning when I get hold of him.
Ah, don't whip him again, Frank. Please don't. All boys are like that.
Not in my family, they ain't going to be. Not while I got something to say about it.
Hey, you! You're going to run that racket all night? How's a person going to sleep?
Your husband must be feeling the heat, Miss Lorraine.
Yeah, I guess he's kind of tired from working so late.
Ah, men are all alike. The minute something goes wrong on the job, they come right home and take it out on their family.
But why must people always be hurting each other? Why can't they live in peace?
It was about 10:30, I remember, when I walked home with Mr. Fiorentino from the park concert that night. As usual, he was carrying his violin on the one arm and sawing the air with the other, as he argued with me.
What's the matter with you? You don't like the music?
Mr. Fiorentino, you must understand me. I didn't say I don't like music. I don't like Verdi, that's all.
You don't like Verdi? I never heard of such a thing. What's the matter with Verdi?
What I mean is, why don't you people play some real music in the park once in a while? Something soul-inspiring instead of those organ grinder tunes.
You talk like a Bolshevik, Sammy Kaplan. You read too many books. Read, read, all the time. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know. If you talk sense, you're crazy. There's your wife waiting for you on the stoop.
Hello, hello, Margarita.
Oh, was there a big crowd at the concert?
Good evening, Mr. Fiorentino. Some night to play the fiddle.
How was the music, Sam? Did they play something nice?
This Kaplan boy, he don't like it. You know what he says about Verdi? Organ grinder tunes. You, book bug. What do you call it, music, huh? What do you call it?
Tchaikovsky, that's what I call music. It's tragic.
Tchaikovsky.
Sure, and Beethoven, music from the soul.
Music from the soul, like this.
What is it, Russian?
The one I always like is da 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 dee da.
Well, give me a good jazz band every time.
Oh, no, no. That's not music at the jazz. That breaks your ears.
Beethoven, he's my favorite. There's nobody like Beethoven. He expresses the whole terrible struggle of mankind.
It's not the nice Beethoven. He's sad all the time. All the time sad. To make you want to cry. I don't want to cry. I want to laugh. Italian music, it makes you happy. It makes you feel good.
Oh, yes. Yes, I like that, too. That's lovely. Don't stop, put on.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. It makes you feel fine. It makes you want to dance.
Wait, Filippo. I play the piano for you and you dance.
Play Puccini, Margarita. Who's going to dance with me? Miss Morant, how about you, huh?
I don't know. I'm not sure my husband would like me.
Oh, come on, dance with me. He don't mind.
Well, all right. I think I will.
Hurry up, Margarita. Miss Morant is going to have a nice dance with me.
Right away, Lippo. I had to open the window first.
Hey, where's my wife? Hey, listen, I want to know where Rose is.
Oh, Mr. Morant, your wife's going to dance with me.
Dance? Well, all right. But it's going on 11 o'clock, and that girl ought to be home.
Laugh away. The beautiful. Isn't that the beautiful? Come on, Mrs. Morant.
Hey, Mr. Fiorentino's quite a dancer, isn't he?
Yeah. Takes the old roosters to do the strutting.
Your wife would dance as well, Mr. Morant.
Oh, go on, Mr. Fiorentino. But before I was married, I used to love to dance. I haven't had a chance to.
Oh, good evening, folks.
Look out, Mr. Sankey. You're blocking the traffic.
Am I? Oh, I see. You're having a little party, eh?
Well, what are you butting in for? Nobody's going to pay any milk bills now.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Fiorentino. I think we've danced enough now.
Oh, go right ahead. I didn't mean to stop you.
Oh, no, that's all right. It's too hot anyway.
Hey, that's enough, Margarita. Stop with the music.
Yeah. It's kind of a hot night for dancing, ain't it? Paper says hottest June 15th in 41 years. Up to 94 in the shade at 3 p.m.
Yeah, all them ambulances chasing back and forth with them prostrate cases. No relief in sight.
Well, anyhow, it's good for the milk business.
Is your wife well again, Mr. Sankey?
My wife, Mrs. Moran?
Yes. Don't you remember the last time you came to collect the bill, you said she had a cold?
Oh, sure. That was a couple of weeks ago.
You got a family, Mr. Sankey?
Yeah, I have two little girls. Well, I gotta be going. I told my wife I'd go to the drugstore and get her some nice cold ginger ale.
Will you excuse me, everybody? I'm going upstairs.
Now, wait a minute. Who was that bird?
That's Mr. Sankey. He's the milk collector.
Oh, he is he? Well, what's he hanging around here for?
Well, he just lives down the block somewhere, Frank.
Well, why don't he stay down the block then?
I don't know what you mean, Frank.
I mean, why don't you look after your kids for a change instead of dancing on the sidewalk and talking with birds from down the block?
Well, Frank, this is the first time I danced in I don't know how many years.
That's all right about that. But I want my kids home where they belong instead of knocking around like tramps. You hear me?
Yes, Frank.
You know what I've been thinking? That man said the heat's good for the milk business. But what if some people don't have the money to buy any milk?
You cut that stuff, Kaplan. If a man's willing to work, he'll have the money.
Yeah, but what if he's willing to work and he can't find a job? You know, not everybody's rich in this country, Mr. Morant. There's such a thing as unemployment.
Now, listen, you. I don't like that kind of talk. Go out and get yourself a soapbox, but don't try it around here.
Yeah, but, Mr. Morant, I was just giving my opinion.
Nobody's asking your opinion. I know your kind. If you don't like this country, you know what you can do about it, don't you?
Well, but, Frank, everybody's got a right to their opinion.
Not if they're against law and order, they ain't. I tell you, it's time something was done to put the fear of God in the people.
Good for you, Mr. Morant.
Well, sometimes I think maybe people are only trying to get something out of life.
Get something, huh? Something they ain't got no right to have, is that it?
No, Frank, I was only thinking...
Yeah, you were only thinking. Well, I believe in children doing what they're told, see? And wives obeying their husbands like they said they would when they was married. And anybody that thinks different is liable to get his head busted in, get me?
Please, Frank, all I meant is, why can't people just be nice to each other? Why can't they live in peace?
Oh, live in peace? You make me sick. You're always talking about living in peace.
But you don't see him.
Ah, shut your face.
Can't say about us.
Willie, is that you?
Shove your mug, that's what I'll do.
Willie, come over here. I'm calling you.
All right, I'm coming.
Oh, Willie, what's the matter? How did you get your shirt torn? Look at you. Come here, I'll wipe it for you. Oh, Willie, you've been fighting again.
That big bummy gonna say that to me. I'll kick the stuffing out of him.
Who's been saying things to you?
That big bum, Joe Kelly. That's the one. Knock his steady eye on there.
Now stop the ball and I'll give you something to ball for, you hear? What'd he say to you? Huh? What'd he say to you?
Oh, let go of
Frank, you're hurting him. What difference does it make what a little street loafer like that says to you, Willie?
Now you shut up. I'm handling this. And what did Joe Connolly say?
I won't tell you.
You want me to beat you with my strap?
Frank.
Now, what did he say to you?
I can't tell you, Bob. I can't. Ow!
Please, Frank, don't hit him.
Tell me. Come on, tell me.
It was about... Oh.
Shut up. Go on up to bed now. Don't let me hear no more out of you. Go on, beat it.
I'll be there in a minute, Willie. Are you coming upstairs, Frank?
No! I'm going around to Callahan's for a drink. But if Rose ain't home when I get back, there's going to be plenty of trouble. And as for you, you better watch your step, too.
You are listening to Street Scene, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Good evening. With Christmas just 2 short weeks away, I'd like to suggest a wonderful gift that all you automobile drivers can give to your families and to yourselves. I'm talking about the gift of extra care, both in driving and in taking care of your car during the winter months ahead, and especially through the coming Christmas holidays. First of all, make sure your automobile is ready for winter driving. Have it thoroughly checked by your garage or service station. Give special attention to your car's cooling and ignition systems. see to it that your tire chains and jack are in the car and both are in good working condition. Then, if you have to drive on pavements covered with slippery snow and ice, here are three important safety suggestions. First, don't do anything suddenly. Apply brakes and accelerator gently. Make turns slowly and deliberately. Second, allow considerably more room between your car and the car ahead on turns and in traffic than you would on good roads. Third, when road and weather conditions are exceedingly bad, stay off the roads entirely unless your trip is of emergency importance. Of course, many hazards of winter driving have been greatly reduced by modern science and modern manufacturing. United States Steel Corporation is proud of the part it's been able to play in the development of such safety factors as all steel bodies for automobiles, buses and trains, steel tire chains, steel bridges and guardrails, stoplight and regular illuminating light poles, efficient equipment for snow removal and other highway maintenance, and through its important subsidiary, Universal Atlas Cement Company, many important safety improvements for better and safer concrete highways. So, wherever and however you travel this winter, chances are you will do it with greater safety because of U.S. Steel. Remember, the development and manufacture of steel and products of steel, designed to make your life a safer as well as a better life, is a very important function of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. The curtain rises on the second act of Street Scene, starring Richard Conte as Sam, Diana Lynn as Rose, and Shirley Booth as Mrs. Morant, and featuring Carl Malden as Mr. Morant.
It was long after midnight when Rose came home, accompanied by a well-dressed stranger, a man none of us in the tenement near the elevated track had ever seen before.
Well, this is where I live, Mr. Easter. I've had a lovely time. Good night.
Oh, but Rose, you can't leave me like this. I've hardly had a chance to talk to you.
Well, that's all we've done since 6 o'clock. Talk and eat and dance.
Rose. Listen, Rose, I'm crazy about you. You know that? I'm crazy about you.
Mr. Easter.
Well, kiss me goodnight at least.
No, I'd rather not.
Well, just once, Rose.
If you don't mind. Why did you do that? It wasn't nice of you.
Why not?
You know why not. You've got a wife, haven't you?
Listen, Rose, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and I got it all doped out. I want to take you out of this.
Out of what?
This whole business, living in a tenement, working in a real estate office all day for a measly 30 a week. Why, with your looks and personality, you could get a job on a stage.
How? How could I get a job on the stage?
Through me. I got friends in show business. Ever hear of Harry Perkins?
No.
He's a pal of mine. All I'd have to say is, Harry, I want you to meet a little girl I'm interested in. You know what he'd do? He'd sign you up like that.
I'm afraid I wouldn't be any good on the stage.
Well, what are you talking about, sweetheart? You'd be a knockout. All you have to do is get started, right? There's tricks to every trade, you know. First, you have to put up a front, cute little apartment, and some good clothes. And after we throw a party or two, you're all set. Listen, Rose, you do like me a little, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know whether I do or not.
Oh, sure you do. Just think of the fun you'd have. Nothing but good times. You with a little apartment all your own.
What about your wife?
Well, what's she got to do with it? She stays up in Bronxville all the time. Well, there's lots of nights when, you know, business keeps you in town.
No, I'm afraid I wouldn't want it that way, Mr. Easter.
Why? Why, Rose, there's nothing wrong with it, sweetheart, but there's lots of girls.
You mustn't call me sweetheart.
Why not?
Because I'm not your sweetheart.
Great Scott, what's that, a murder?
That must be Mrs. Buchanan. She's just across the hall from us, and she's expecting a baby.
Well, why does she have to yell like that? I thought somebody was being killed.
Of course. Seeing she's so little, and it's the first. Well, I've got to go now, Mr. Easter. Good night.
Well, Rose, listen to me.
Please, Mr. Easter, there's my father coming, and there'll only be an argument if he sees us.
Oh, all right, I'll go. Good night.
Good night.
Rose, that you?
Hello, Pop.
Who was that you was talking to?
Oh, that's Mr. Easter. He's the manager of the office.
Well, what's he doing here? You been out with him?
Well, you see, Pop, I had to stay late to type some letters, and so he took me out to dinner.
Oh, you did, eh? Well, this is a fine time to be getting home from dinner. It's after 1 o'clock.
Well, we danced afterwards.
Oh, you danced, huh? With a little petting on the side, is that it?
Who said anything about petting?
It's none of my business, is that it? Well, I'm going to make it my business, see? Is this bird married?
I don't see why you can never talk to me in a nice way.
I thought so. He's married. They're all alike, them guys. Well, get this straight. No married men ain't coming around, nosing around my family. Get me?
Pop, there's somebody coming.
I don't care who's coming. If I tell you...
You started the baby, I mean.
Can I do anything for him, Mr. Buchanan?
No, I'm just going to phone for the doctor.
Well, listen, I'll do it. You go on back to your wife.
Oh, would you? It's Dr. John Wilson at Murray Hill 4. Here, I wrote it down. Can you read it?
Yeah, Dr. John Wilson.
Here's a nickel. Tell him to come right away. She's got terrible pain. Isn't that awful? I better go right back.
Pop, tell Ma to go on up to her, will you?
All
right. Hurry, Pop, hurry.
There was someone in the upstairs hall when Rose came back. A massive, lumbering figure that most of us tenants avoided on the narrow stairways.
Hiya, Rosie.
Good evening.
Ah, what kind of a greeting is that? Good evening. Why don't you open up, Rosie? Be friendly. Hiya, Vincent Jones. Pleased to meet you.
Let me get by.
What's your hurry?
You don't want to make another scene in the hall, do you?
Ah, come on, Rosie. You ain't going to bed yet. Got my hack around the corner. I'll take you for a ride.
Stop blocking the hall. I want...
Come
on. I want to get by.
Hey, you got a lot of strength, ain't you? Say, you know you're getting fat.
Keep your hands to yourself, you big tough.
Rose, is that you?
What's the matter? Hey, you leave her alone.
Well, look who's here. Sammy Kaplan. What are you doing up here anyway? Why don't you stay downstairs where you belong? Downstairs, you.
You keep your hands off her, I tell you.
Yeah? Now, what do you got to say?
If you dare touch her again,
If you dare touch her again. Ah, shut up.
You big coward.
Get up, Sammy. Get up, why don't
you? If you hit him again, I'll call my father.
Gee, don't frighten me, Rosie. I got a weak heart.
Hello, Vincent. What's going on here?
Just a little friendly argument, Ma. Sammy Kaplan don't like me saying good evening to his girlfriend.
Come on in, Vincent. I saved some stew for you.
All right, Ma, I'm coming. Good night, Rosie. And as for you...
Leave him alone, Vincent.
Who's touching him, Ma? Little cockroach like that ain't worth my time. That's some cluck you picked out for yourself, Rosie.
You seem to have plenty of admirers, Miss Moran. But judging by your mother, I guess you come by it natural.
That dirty bum, I'll kill him.
It's all right, Sam. Never mind.
I'll kill him. I'll kill him.
No, no, it's all right, Sam. Everything's all right. Come on outside. Come on with me. Why should you pay any attention to a big, tough like that? He's nothing but a loafer. You know that. What do you care what he says? Come on outside, Sam. I want to see your face. Sit down in the seat. Did he hurt you much? Where'd he hit you?
I'm nothing but a coward.
Why, no, you're not, Sam. You're not at all.
Yes, I am. I'll never be anything, anything.
You don't talk like that, Sam. A boy with your brains and ability and graduating from college with honors and all that?
Brains. What's the use of having brains if nobody knows you exist?
I know you exist, Sam.
Do you? It wouldn't take much to make you forget me.
Why do you say that?
Because you're different. You have beauty. You have a place in the world.
I don't know about that. It's not easy being a girl, Sam. I don't know. Men seem to be nice to you. They take you out and everything, and then you find out that all they're interested in is just... Well, it's not easy to know what to do when you're trying to find out just where you're at. Sam, there's something I want to ask you.
What is it, Rose?
I wouldn't dream of asking anybody but you, but... Sam, do you think it's true? What everybody says about my mother.
Your mother?
Yes. It's true, isn't it, Sam?
Oh, I wouldn't listen to what they're saying. Oh, Rose, why do we have to go on living in this sewer?
What can I do, Sam? You see, my father means well enough, but he sort of makes you freeze up when you want to be kind and sweet. Yeah, that's the whole trouble, I guess. I don't know, my mother never had anybody really to love her. Oh, she's gay and happy like, you know, Sam. She likes to listen to music and dance and have a good time. But my father, well, he's different. And with everybody spying and talking like this, Sam, I'm scared. I'm scared, Sam.
That's Mrs. Buchanan again.
Oh, poor thing. She must be having terrible pain. Oh,
what's the use of life, Rose? That's what I want to know. What's the use of it?
Oh, I don't know, Sam. Last night I could hardly sleep on account of the heat and thinking about all this. Well, all sorts of things. But then this morning I decided to walk to the office. And when I got to the park, Sam, everything looked so green and fresh. And all of a sudden I saw a big lilac bush with some flowers still on it. I don't know. I thought that, well, maybe life's not so bad after all. You know, Sam, it made me think of that poem that you said for me. Remember the one about the lilacs?
When lilacs last in the dooryard bloom.
No, I mean the part about the farmhouse. Say it for me, Sam.
In a dooryard fronting an old farmhouse near the whitewashed palings stands the lilac bush, tall growing with heart-shaped leaves of rich green, with many a pointed blossom rising delicate, with a perfume strong I love, with every leaf a miracle.
Yes, that's it. That's just what I felt. With every leaf a miracle.
Is that you?
Yes, Mr. Buchanan.
Do you mind phoning the doctor again? She's getting worse.
Yeah, sure I will. What was that number?
Murray Hill, oh, gosh, I forgot it.
Well, what was his name again?
Wilson, Dr. John Wilson.
I'm Dr. Wilson. Just don't get excited. I'm coming.
Mr. Buchanan, here's Dr. Wilson now.
Is that you, Dr. Wilson?
Yes, it's me. Tell her I'm here.
Hurry, doctor, please hurry.
Plenty of time, Mr. Buchanan. Plenty of time. Just don't get excited.
Rose, you come on up here.
Yes, Pop, I'll be right up.
Don't be making me call you again now, do you hear?
No, I'm coming right away. Oh, I guess I better go up now, Sam. Gee, there's something else I wanted to talk to you about, but it'll have to wait for another time.
Rose, will you kiss me?
Why, of course I will, Sam.
What's the matter, Rose? You're shaking all over.
It's those screams. What's that old saying? Every time God brings a child into the world, he takes someone else away? Well, Sam, sometimes I'm afraid to go upstairs.
Oh, no, Rose.
Isn't that silly of me? But I keep thinking something's going to happen. Oh, well, I guess I'm just tired, that's all. Good night, Sam.
Good night, Rose, dear. Morning came. That hot summer morning in the old brownstone tenement where I lived 10 years ago. At 6, the milkman rattled by. Then you'd shut your eyes and soon you'd hear the garbage men removing the trash from the sidewalk. 7:15, that's my alarm clock. So you reach out a hand and shut it off. Then you could hear Mrs. Fiorentino's canary. Every morning about this time, she uncovered it for the day. And there's the Buchanan baby facing the city heat for the first time in his life.
But, Doctor, what if my wife does wake up, Doctor?
She won't wake up, Mr. Buchanan. She's too exhausted, I tell you.
Yes, but, Doctor...
Relax. You act like you had that baby instead of her.
Oh, no, Doctor, I'm nervous.
No. I'll be back this afternoon.
By 8, I was dressed. And then my sister Shirley called from the kitchen.
Breakfast is ready.
I don't want any breakfast.
What do you mean you don't want any breakfast? What kind of business is that, not to eat breakfast?
Well, do I have to have breakfast if I don't want to?
You've got your head so full of that Rose Moran upstairs, you don't want to eat or sleep or anything anymore.
If I don't feel like eating, why should I eat? You're always telling me, eat, don't eat, get up, go to bed. I know what I want to do without being told.
I don't see just when you're graduating from college why you want to get mixed up with a girl like that.
What do you mean a girl like that? What have you got against her?
Well, look at the kind of family she comes from. What's her father? Nothing but an illiterate roughneck. And her mother...
Are you going to start that, too?
Willie, don't gulp your milk.
I'm in a hurry.
Well, you can't go to school like that. Your collar's all open.
I know it, Rose. The button come off.
Well, why didn't you ask Ma to sew it on for you?
She ain't here. She's next door, Buchanan.
Well, wait a minute till I see if I have a pin. And you didn't comb your hair, either.
Ah, so Where's your old man?
Willie, you come back here.
Has he gone to school?
Yes, Ma. I tell you, it's awful the way he goes around looking like a little tough and the language he uses.
I know, I just don't seem to be able to manage him anymore.
I saved some coffee for you, Ma. Oh. Here. Sit down, you look dead tired. How's Mrs. Buchanan?
She's sleeping now, poor thing. I really didn't think last night she'd have the strength to pull through it.
Hey, where you been all this while?
Well, you know where I've been, Frank. At Mrs. Buchanan's. It's a boy, Frank. It's the cutest little boy you ever saw. They're going to call him Daniel after his father. Are you leaving now?
Looks like it, don't it? And where are you going?
I know where's Frank. Oh, I thought I'd drop around to the butcher and get her a chicken. I ought to make her a little chicken soup to give her some strength.
How about looking after your own home and letting the Buchanans look after theirs?
Well, all I'm trying to do is be a little neighborly, Frank. It's the least anybody can do. The poor thing's hardly able to lift her hand.
That's all right about that. A woman ought to stay in her own home looking after her husband and children.
What else have I been doing all these years, I'd like to know?
Well, just don't forget it, that's all. Or there's liable to be trouble.
All right, Frank, don't say any more, please. When will you be back? Tomorrow?
I don't know when I'll be back. What are you so anxious to know for, huh?
Just ask, that's all.
Oh, you just asked, huh? Just in case somebody wanted to come around calling on you, is that it?
No, it isn't. It isn't anything of the kind. You got no right to talk to me like that in front of my own daughter. No, you haven't. You got no right.
Oh, Pop, why do you talk to her like that?
Nobody's asking you.
If you were only a little nicer to her, maybe everything would be different.
So she's got you headed the same way, has she? Going out nights with married men, huh?
You don't need to worry about me, Pop. I can take care of myself, all right.
Oh, yeah? Well, don't let me catch that other bird coming around here either. That's all I gotta say. I'm gonna keep you straight anyhow, or I'll know the reason why.
I thought you were going to stop drinking in the morning.
Yeah. Mind your own business, will you?
Pop, listen, couldn't we get a little house somewhere? Queens or Staten Island or someplace like that?
Hey, what's the idea?
Oh, I don't know. I sort of thought it would be nice for all of us. And maybe if Ma had a little home out where there's grass and trees and some nice neighbors. Oh, don't you see what I mean, Pop?
Forget it. This place suits me all right. And remember what I told you, here.
Did he go? Yes. Oh, I'll clear the table. He had a bottle in his pocket, Ma. I hope he doesn't get drunk again.
What did he say? Anything?
No, only the way he always talked. I tried to talk to him about buying a house somewhere, but he wouldn't listen.
No, he never does. He never listens to anything. It's always been that way. I tried to be a good wife to him, Rose, but it never seemed to make any difference to him.
I know, Mine. I know just the way you feel about it.
Do you, Rose?
Yes, Ma, I do. Honest, I do.
Rose, I've always tried to make a nice home for him and to do what's right. But it just doesn't seem to be any use.
I know, Ma. But it's on account of all the
Are you going to start, too? Are you going to start like all the others?
Don't, Ma. Please don't.
I thought maybe you'd be the one that would feel different.
I do, Ma. Really, I do.
What's the good of being alive if you can't get something out of life? You might as well be dead.
Ma, listen. If I say something to you, will you listen to me?
Yes, sure I will, Rose. I listen to anything you say, only
well, what I was thinking was, if you don't come around here so much, do you see what I mean, Ma?
Yes.
It's on account of, of all that's going around and everybody in the whole house. You do see what I mean, don't you, Ma?
Every person in the world has to have somebody to talk to. You can't live without somebody to talk to. I'm not saying I can't talk to you, Rose, but you're only a young girl. It's not the same thing.
It's only on account of Pop. I'm scared of what he's liable to do if he gets himself drunk.
Yes, well, I'll see, Rose. But sometimes I think I'd be better off dead.
Don't say that, Ma. Oh, if only there was something I could do.
No, there isn't anything anybody can do. It's just the way things are, that's all.
Well, I've got to go now. The boss's funeral. Goodbye, Ma. I'll be back in an hour. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Fiorentino. It looks like another scorcher, doesn't it?
My clothes is wringing wet already.
Hello, Miss Kaplan. Another awful day, isn't it?
Yes. I was waiting for you.
For me?
I want to talk to you about my brother, Sam. I guess you know he's only finishing college this month.
Yes, of course I do.
Then he has to go 3 years to law school and pass the bar examination before he can be a full-fledged lawyer.
Yes, it takes a long time.
A long time and lots of money. Before a young lawyer begins to make his own living, that takes a long time, too. It'll be 10 years before he can think about marriage.
Well, you don't mean me and Sam, Miss Kaplan.
Yes, that's just what I mean.
Well, we're just good friends, that's all.
I know how it is with a boy like Sam, Miss Moran. He thinks he's a man already, but he's nothing but a boy. I've had to work hard enough to get him as far as he is.
I know. Sam's often told me how much he owes to you.
He doesn't owe me anything. I don't care about the money, only he should be thinking about his work and not about other things.
But don't you think there are other things in the world, too, besides just work?
Don't I know that? Don't think I'm just an old-maid schoolteacher without any feelings.
I haven't tried to make up to Sam, Miss Kaplan. Honest, I haven't. We just seem naturally to like each other.
Why must you pick out Sam? You could get other fellas. Why, he's nothing but a baby. He sees a pretty face, and right away he forgets about everything else.
I know I haven't as much brains as Sam, or as you either, if that's what you mean.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Miss Moran. I haven't got anything against you, only you and Sam come from different backgrounds. You're different people. It wouldn't work, I tell you.
Hello, Rose.
Oh. Hello, Sam.
Wait a minute, I'll be right out.
Please don't tell him what I said.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
I'll have to hurry. They don't like teachers coming late.
Goodbye, Miss Kaplan.
I brought you some coffee cake.
No, thanks. You eat. Listen, Sam, there's something I want to ask you advice about. It's what I started to tell you about last night. You see, a man I know wants to get me on a stage.
What man?
Well, a man that works in the office. You see, he knows a producer, and he says he'll help me get started, and what I've been thinking was, well, if I could only get out of here and make a lot of money, maybe everything would be different. Not only for me, Sam, but for Ma and Pop and Willie. We might even buy a little house somewhere.
But don't you know what he wants, this man?
Nobody gives you anything for nothing.
Rose, for heaven's sake, you mustn't.
Back up, Sam. Here's that tough Ed Vincent.
Hello, Rosie. You've been here all night. Hello, Sammy. Shake. Oh, come on, shake, can't you? I ain't gonna hurt you.
Oh, my hand! Let me go.
You'll leave him alone.
Oh, what a grip that Sammy's got. I hate to get in a mix-up with him. You got a date tonight, Rosie?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, she ain't that too bad. I give you $2 if you let me snap your garter.
Listen, you...
What'd you say?
Don't you touch him.
Fighting Kaplan, the pride of the East Side. Ah, but crying out loud.
If only there was some way of getting out of here.
Yeah, if there only was.
Sometimes I think I'd just like to run away.
Run away? Yeah, that's it, Rose. That's it, run away.
Anywhere, it doesn't matter where.
Just to get out of here, out of this trap.
I just can't stand this place anymore, Sam.
Listen, Rose, listen to me. Why shouldn't we do it? I'd go anywhere with you, anywhere. We'll go to the country, Rose, out of New York.
To the country,
let's
yes.
Let's go today, Rose. Let's go now.
Only what could we do there, Sam? I couldn't get a job in the country.
Well, I could. I'd get a job, farm labor, anything.
And give up your law study?
Law studies, I'd give up anything to be with you.
Oh, no, I couldn't let you do that, Sam.
Don't say that, Rose. Why not?
Well, because I couldn't let you sacrifice yourself like that.
Yeah, but it's no sacrifice.
No, it's different with me. But you, well, you've got your whole life ahead of you, your whole career. Oh, no, Sam, I guess it just wouldn't work.
Good morning, Miss Moran.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Reese.
As long as we're both going to the funeral, I thought I'd drop around and pick you up.
Oh. I'd like you to meet my friend, Mr. Kaplan.
How do you do, Mr. Kaplan? Glad to know you.
Mr. Easter is the manager of the office.
The office? Is this the man who... Rose.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what got into him? You say glad to know you, and he runs into the house.
We better get started, Mr. Easter.
Well, let's pick up a cab on the corner.
No, thanks. I'd rather walk.
Oh, it's too hot to walk. Say, wait a minute, Rose. Rose, what's the matter? Well, what's got into you all of a sudden?
Leave me alone, can't you? Leave me alone.
What happened after that is a matter of record. All written down in the grim annals of the police. At 9 o'clock, 9 on the dot, Steve Sankey knocked on the door upstairs.
Steve, what are you doing here?
Can I come in?
Now?
Yeah. Is it all right?
Well, I suppose so. He's gone to New Haven.
Where's Rose?
She's at the funeral.
I'll come in for a few minutes.
Well, all right, Steve.
Mrs. Serentino.
Yes?
He just went up there.
Dr. Milk collecting that? Oh, that's just terrible.
I was listening through the door, and I heard him say, can I come in? And then she says, sure, he's gone to New Haven. Come right ahead. So in he goes, as big as life. In broad daylight, mind you.
Why don't you leave her alone? It's none of your business.
Nobody's talking to you, Sammy.
Well, why do you have to tear her to pieces like a pack of wolves? Isn't there enough trouble already?
Listen to him, will you? Just because he's in love with that girl.
That's none of your business either.
Well, can you beat that? He must be going off his head. This is a fine house to live in, ain't it, Mrs. Fiorentino? With them Morans upstairs and them Kaplans down here.
Look out, it's Mr. Moran.
Well, oh, hello, Mr. Moran. I thought you was off to New Haven.
Oh, you did you? Well, I changed my mind. Get out of my way.
Look out where you're going, will you? He must be drunk.
Mr. Morant, wait a minute.
Shut up.
No, wait, you've got to listen.
Let go of me.
Don't go up there, Mr. Morant.
I told you to shut up, you little rat.
Stop him. Don't let him go in there. He'll kill them.
Mrs. Morant, look out, Mrs. Morant. Oh, Virgin Maria, salva l'anima di questa povera donna. Salva la dal pericolo, non lasciarla morire. Madre di Dio. No!
You are listening to Street Scene, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Earlier on tonight's program, I talked to you about the need for extra driving care on the highways during the winter months ahead. Right now, I'd like to tell you about three tremendously important highway safety developments pioneered by Universal Atlas Cement Company, an important subsidiary of United States Steel. The first is the famous light-reflecting corrugated concrete curb made with Atlas white cement, which clearly outlines road edges by day and by night in good weather and in bad. Second is the Universal Atlas white traffic lane marker, which is essentially the same in principle as the corrugated concrete curb, except that it's built flush with the surface of the highway and provides a double-duty safety measure. Not only can it be seen more clearly, but when car tires run over the corrugated surface, the marker also causes a singing noise, which is clearly heard when drivers stray out of their lanes. Third is the extraordinary material called Atlas Duraplastic, or if you want to be more exact, Atlas Duraplastic Air in Training Cement. Intensive tests over a 10-year period prove that Duraplastic cement, when used in concrete mixes for highway servicing, greatly reduces the problems of pavement scaling caused by severe freezing and thawing, and the action of de-icing salts used so freely nowadays by many highway departments to clear roads of ice. In other words, the use of Duraplastic gives to concrete highways an added surface durability that's a major contribution to better and safer concrete highways. And of course, from the standpoint of you taxpayers, Duraplastic is mighty desirable because Duraplastic costs no more than regular cement. At Universal Atlas Cement Company, highway safety developments like those I've mentioned are products of a constant program of research, development, and field testing. It's a big program and an expensive one. But helping to make your America a safer as well as a better America is a vitally important objective of Universal Atlas Cement Company and every other member of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. We pause now for station identification.
Now the curtain rises on the third act of Street Scene, starring Diana Lynn, Richard Conte, and Shirley Booth, and featuring Carl Malden.
Then the manhunt began. All day long, one of those terrible manhunts in the streets of New York, with Rose's father at the quarry.
All police cars on Upper East Side report 87th and York Avenue. Killer at large. Killer at large. All police cars.
Hey, officer. Officer.
Huh?
Listen, there's a man hiding in the cellar of that empty warehouse. I seen him.
What empty warehouse?
The big yellow one on York Avenue. I was looking out the back window and I seen him duck across the alley and go in the cellar.
All right, come on. You show me the house.
Stand back, everybody. You too, lady. Get behind the rock.
Head out, boys. I think he's in there, all right.
Get that alley closed off, man. Both hands.
Yes, closed, Captain.
Oh, down here.
Hey, cabby, what are you trying to do? Don't you see the streets roped off? Turn around. Turn around.
All right. I'm going to open the cellar door now. Look out. He's got a gun.
Okay, Franklin. You open it.
See anything?
No.
You want my flashlight?
Don't use it.
You suppose it?
What's that? Picked in the coal bin. You think it's a rat? Get behind the pillar. Come out, Morant. We know you're in the coal bin. If you don't come out, we're going to shoot. Come out, Morant. This is the last warning.
All right. All right, boys, don't shoot. I'm coming out.
Everybody, get behind the rope.
He must have been hiding in our coal bin.
Hey, where are you going, miss?
Oh, please, please, I've got to get through.
No, you don't. Stand back.
But listen, it's not... Pop, are you hurt?
Rose, let me talk to her, boys. That's my daughter. Let me talk to her, please.
All right, Moran, but don't try to pull anything here.
Oh, Pop, why did you do it? Why did you do
it? I don't know. All that talk going around.
I know.
This heat, I don't know. Did you see her, Rose? Did she say anything to you?
She never opened her eyes again. What are they going to do to you, Pop? What are they going to do to you now?
I don't care. I don't care, Rose. Whatever it is, I deserve it, all right? It's her I'm thinking of. You should have seen the way she looked at me when I...
She was always so kind and sweet, Pop. She was lonely. That's all. She didn't mean anything.
You're lonely. I guess I never treated her right, but...
Don't think about that.
But I ain't no murderer. You're the one to know that, Rose.
Sure, Pop, sure.
I was drinking, that's all. And with the heat and the talk, I just went out of my head. That's it, Rosa. I went out of my head.
All right, that's all.
No, please.
No, not yet. She's my daughter. Give me a chance, can't you? Please. Rose. Rose, what's going to happen to you and Willie now?
We'll be all right, Pop. Don't think about that.
Now, you keep your eye on him, will you? Don't let him grow up like me.
I'll do all I can for him, Pop. But I'll have to tell him the truth, won't I? He'd only find it out from the streets if I do.
I ain't been a very good father to you, have I? To the both of you, I guess.
Listen, Pop, don't worry about that now.
You're a good girl, Rose. You always was a good girl, Rose.
After all these years, it hurts to remember the rest. That last twilight walk in a little park by the river with its lone lilac bush.
I'm getting out of New York, then.
Not with that man.
No, not with that man. But some quiet little place where there's trees and grass and where I can breathe and think a little.
I'm going with you, Rose.
But then, dear,
don't talk to me about my law studies. It's you I care about. Do you think I can stay here stifling to death and never see you again?
But, Sam, we've got to be practical. How could we live?
I'll be a day laborer. I'll dig sewers. Anything. Only don't leave me, Rose. Don't leave me.
I like you, Sam. I like you better than anyone.
Well, then let me go with you. I love you, Rose.
It would be nice with you. You're different from anybody I know. But, Sam, it just wouldn't work.
Why not? We have each other. That's the main thing, isn't it? What else matters but that?
Lots of things, Sam. There's lots of things to be considered. You've got to go on to law school, and I've got Willie to take care of now.
I'll take care of Willie. I'll take care of both of you.
No, Sam.
But why? Tell me why you always say no.
Because I'd tie you down, and you'd hate me for it. You're not ready to be tied down to a wife and family yet. You still have your place to find in life. And, oh, Sam, you will. I'm sure you will. Someday I'll be so proud of you.
My place in life. This is the end of my life, Rose. The end of it.
That isn't true, Sam. You know it isn't. Someday you'll look back on all this and thank me for leaving you free.
Oh, Rose. Rose.
Give me a goodbye kiss, will you, Sam? Oh, Sam, I'm so fond of you. I know you'll do such big things for my sake. For my sake, Sam.
And only this morning I went back there again. After all these years, I went back to that battered old tenement with a brownstone stoop. All day long I've thought about it. All day I've wondered what became of Rose. I like to think of her as serene and happy, out in the country where she longed to be, surrounded by grass and trees and lilac bushes. Someday I hope I can find her and tell her she's always been with me in my heart all these years. A delicate fragrance, a lovely voice, a gentle spirit that has urged me on saying...
You'll find your place in life, Sam. I know you will. And someday I'll be so proud of you. So proud of you.
Curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of The Street Scene, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Diana Lynn as Rose, Richard Conte as Sam, and Shirley Booth as Mrs. Morant, and featuring Carl Malden as Mr. Morant. Other members of the cast included Thelma Ritter as Mrs. Jones, George Matthews as Vincent Jones, Roger Pryor as Harry Easter, Danny Occo as Lippo, Bryna Rayburn as Mrs. Fiorentino, George Petrie as Sankey, Joey Walsh as Willie, Norma Chambers as Shirley Kaplan, Cameron Andrews as Mrs. Buchanan, and Merrill Joyles as Dr. Wilson, Donald Rose as Butch. And now, here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theater Guild on the Air brings you one of the great actors of the modern theater, Morris Evans, starring in the first radio broadcast of his latest Broadway play, The Browning Version, by Terence Rattigan, author of Oh, Mistress Mine and The Winslow Boy. Co-starring with Morris Evans is Edna Best, and you'll also hear the original Broadway cast that made The Browning Version one of the most striking new plays of the current season.
Remember, next week on the United States Steel Hour, Morris Evans and Edna Best starring in The Browning Version. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theater Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langer and Teresa Halbern, with our Ina Marshall executive producer. S. Mark Smith is editor. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy. Richard Conte is presently completing a starring role for Universal International Pictures, producers of Woman in Hiding, starring Ida Lupino. Diana Lynn will shortly be seen in the Hal Wallace production, Paid in Full. Shirley Booth will soon be seen on Broadway in the Theater Guild production, Come Back, Little Sheba. Thelma Ritter appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Prince of Foxes. Your announcer is Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
Stay tuned for the American Album of Familiar Music on NBC.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.